We've been in an ongoing study through the book of Hebrews for quite some time, and most recently we embarked on a journey of a sermon series that we're calling Second Wind. We're specifically studying Hebrews chapter 11, and we're looking at examples that we read from God's Word of heroes of the faith. This is oftentimes called the Heroes of the Faith chapter, but those who have set an example for us in how we are to trust God and follow him and pursue him, and then watch him do amazing and extraordinary things around us. So we want to look today at Hebrews 11, verse 7. And this is going to describe for us a crazy story that asks a lot of questions, but has a very practical application for us every single day. So let's jump right in, if we can. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 7, and see what we read. By faith, Noah, being warned by God concerning events as yet unseen, in reverent fear, constructed an ark for the saving of his household. By this he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness that comes by faith. And there's that key word again. Faith. Have you ever been afraid before? All of us have. I mean, it may be. So we pay money to watch scary movies or to have scary experiences, like going through a haunted house, or you have had the thrill of an adventure, of a roller coaster. I mean, like we actually enjoy being afraid, or kind of feeling that heightened sense of adrenaline. The type of fear, though, that we see that Noah had every reason to have, it's different. And that may be a type of fear that you have felt before, too, where you had before you a heavyweight, significant moment, and you were staring at total unknowns, like you'd never experienced this before. Man, it's even hard for us to find comparisons to Noah building the ark. But I think in my life, and I reflect back on the fear that I had the first time Hillary and I were going to be parents. Man, that was scary. Like, I knew that this was ordained by God. I knew that this is what we were going to do. But I was scared to death. I had no clue what this was like. I had no concept of being a father, of providing for someone. And it was very fearful. Obviously, it was beautiful. It obviously isn't the same as Noah's encounter, because at least I had the privilege and the opportunity to talk to other parents and get their counsel and advice. But here are some things that we observe in the story of Noah in verse 7 of chapter 11 in Hebrews, or if we want to go all the way back to Genesis chapter 6 and read the original account, we can even get greater detail. But let's analyze or look at a couple things in the text, and I want to make a few observations that can impact our world every day. Sip of coffee, though. Noah lived and walked by faith. He obviously had a relationship with God because he was warned by God. God communicated with him. We've seen a pattern now. God walking with Adam and Eve. God communicating with Cain and with Abel. God communicating with Enoch. Now we see God communicating with Noah. In the conversation that we read of in Genesis chapter 4 between he and Cain, it was very kind of condescending and corrective. We didn't read about the specific conversation that he had with Enoch, but at the same time, we saw evidence of this kind of long-standing conversation that they had of true and sincere intimate relationship. Now we see a communication to Noah that is like a warning. There is something that's going to come, and you haven't seen it yet. From all accounts, like, rain had never fallen from the sky. Can you imagine God warning Noah, hey, look, listen, I know this sounds crazy, but there's some water that's about to fall from the sky, and it's going to be so much like it's going to flood the earth. And so I need you to build a boat. I know that you've never seen a boat and you really have no idea what a boat is, but I'm going to give you all the instructions. If you'll just trust me, we're going to do something crazy. Well, what was Noah's response? In reverent fear, he did it. He did what made no sense out of fear of God. It was not fear of the rain. His response was out of respectful, reverent fear to the one who created him, who had conversation with him, to the one true living God. This enabled him through God's miraculous power to save his whole household, to truly keep like the world spinning. As for God, this was a reset button because of man's sin. This is where the condemnation of the world came through. So there's a lot we could talk about, but for the sake of time, especially delivering a message this way on demand, here's a few things that I want us to consider. The first one is listen well. Listen well. You and I hear a lot, but do we actually listen? There's a difference between audible recognition of a tone, a sound, a word, and actually listening to what someone is saying. Now, granted, we should all do this. I mean, especially those of us that are married, like, we need to listen well. This could save us a world of conflict. But we're really talking now about listening to God. See, God speaks. This goes all the way back to the first verse in Hebrews. God speaks to us through his Son, Jesus. He's speaking. Are we listening? That's the question. God wants to speak to you and to me, similarly to the way that he spoke with Enoch, similarly to the way that he spoke with Noah, and he reveals himself. We saw this a few weeks ago in Hebrews chapter 11, how he speaks to us through his creation, and we know that he speaks to us through his written word, and through the Holy Spirit, but ultimately through his Son Jesus and what he has done. We need to listen. How do you do that? Well, two things. One, be quiet. So many times that we desire to listen to God and all we do is talk. Be still and know that I am God. Listen. Get yourself in a position to hear. That not only involves being quiet, but it also involves sitting or standing or being alone and quiet with his word, eliminating distractions, so that I can focus on what he is saying. Listen well. Here's the next thing I want you to understand. We can learn this from Noah's example. We find favor in fear. This is not like trembling fear going to a movie or riding a roller coaster. Ah, I'm afraid. This is reverent, respectful fear of our position with God. He is God, we are not. And I need to find favor in that humbling myself before him. This really cuts to the heartbeat of the gospel, that we are sinners in need of a Savior. And sin in and of itself is this tension for control, for power, for wanting to be in charge. And I've got to submit myself to the authority of God. And in doing so, in living in that fear, there is favor. We saw Noah found favor in the sight of God. He was the only one that God explored all the expanse of humanity and all living in their sin. But Noah found favor. His favor was because of the humility and reverence of understanding his place under God's authority. I encourage you, if there's never been a time in your life that you have submitted to God's authority and put your trust in him by confessing and repenting of your sin, today may be the day of salvation for you. For every one of us as believers, this is a regular practice. And Paul even said, I die to myself daily. It's this daily recognition. In fact, I would real practically for me in my prayer time, every morning. Like, Lord, today I acknowledge you are God and I am not, and I submit to your authority. That is that's not me getting saved every day. That's just a walking in humble recognition and fear of the Lord. We could talk more about that, but in the interest of time, let's keep moving. So we've mentioned the importance of listening well, recognizing there's favor and fear, and that allows us then to walk with confidence as we live fearlessly. Live fearlessly. It's been interesting that if we go back to chapter 10, we saw the importance of walking with confidence and being bold in our faith, and not forsaking, in fact, spurring one another and pushing one another toward love and good works. And this is all in a response, not because some superpower that we have. No, this is in response to the work of Christ and what he has done, because he is our sacrifice, because he is our high priest, because he atones and advocates for us. We now can live fearlessly, not because of who we are, but because of who he is. Not because of who we are, but because of whose we are. We can live fearlessly. In fact, I would say it this way. If I were to summarize this entire sermon in one sentence, it would be this way. Faith hears with fear, and faith is fearlessly fearless. Faith hears with fear. I'm listening in reverent awe. And faith is fearlessly fearless. I will not be afraid what man can do unto me, because I am his child. Well, what does this fearless living look like? Well, here's a couple of things I would encourage you with. In the most simplest of regards, I think it means that we walk in the confidence that we learned back in Hebrews chapter 10. During our Rally Point series. In fact, if you missed that, go to the website. Just look at Rally Point, specifically week 3, the third message in Rally Point, where we talked about this. We have access to God through the blood of Jesus. Therefore, we can have boldness to come and approach his throne. This speaks to our communion with God. This speaks to our community with believers. I think even more practically, this looks like because of who he is, because of how he has called us to live, we can face the challenges of life head on. We trust in a sovereign God. We trust that he is in control. We trust in a providential God, meaning that he gives us what we need when we need it. Sometimes he doesn't give it to us until right when we need it. But he always provides, he always protects, he always sustains. I can do this by looking at the faithfulness of God in the past. Listen, you may be facing a tremendous challenge of a terminal illness in someone that you love, or maybe you're battling something like cancer yourself, or you are watching some of your children really navigate some throes of life and adolescence, and you wish that you can rescue them, but they've got to make these choices. And so on and on, these types of challenges, it could be interpersonal challenges in your workplace. It could be marital strife that you're dealing with. And we can face these challenges fearlessly when we know that we're listening well and we're humbling ourselves before the Lord, finding favor in fear. And I could look at the faithfulness of God in the past as his child and say, you know what? I'm not going to doubt what the Lord can do right now, because I have seen him work in my life. And the same God that worked for me and in me 2 years ago is here today. The same God that looked at Noah and gave him this extremely wild command is the same God that you and I can trust. The same God that walked with Adam and Eve, that Enoch walked with every day, is the same God that we worship today. He hasn't changed. So in the midst of fearful situations, I can live fearlessly by breathing. Breathe in the word of God and exhale his power. This is not some hocus pocus thing. I'm just simply trying to help us understand through the power of the Holy Spirit and the promise of who He is and how He walks with us every day, I can breathe in and breathe out with peace, knowing who He is, what He has said, and who He has called me to be, and how He has commanded me to live. Those are big thoughts and big ideas, but where the rubber meets the road is when I face a fearful situation. How do I respond? In desperate crying out to the Lord for favor, for wisdom, for guidance and direction. Because those are moments where I'm not careful, I can jump into the driver's seat and not acknowledge my need to depend on Him for grace and strength. So what do we do with all this? Let me encourage you with a few next steps to consider today. The first one may be this. Perhaps you're listening, you're following along, and you realize that today the Lord is calling me into relationship. Like I've never submitted to His authority in my life, and I've never confessed and repented of my sin. And today may be the day that He is calling you into relationship. Wherever you are right now, you can pray a simple prayer, confessing your sin to Him, acknowledging your need for Him, and thanking Him for sending His Son Jesus to die for you, who rose from the dead for you, who now seats at the right hand of the Father for you. You can begin that relationship with Him today by humbly submitting to His authority in your life. It may be that you pray that prayer right now, and if you'll do that, if you'd email us or call us, we'd love to hear about that so we can encourage you. Or even go to our website and just simply click the Next Steps button when you're following along. Another next step you consider today would be, I've given my life to Jesus, but today I will commit to listen even when it doesn't make sense. Imagine how little sense it made to Noah when God gave him the command that he did. And God may ask you to do some things, and it may not be to make a boat. But God may ask you to offer an olive branch of peace to somebody in a relationship that's been fractured or broken. And that may not make sense, but He may call you to do that. God calls us to live off 90% of our income, and that makes no sense. But I'm going to commit to listen, even when it doesn't make sense. And lastly, it may be that you're watching or listening today, and you realize that, I will walk in confidence because I am doing what God has told me to do. And you're going to continue to take steps of obedience and faith, living fearlessly. Faith is fearlessly fearless. Hey, thanks for checking this out today. Visit the website for more information. Reach out to us if we can help you in any way. We'd love to come alongside and encourage you and pray for you. God bless you, and we'll see you next time. Thank you.